This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
And Cobra Engineering is a platinum level amplifier with us, and we would like to thank Cobra Engineering so much for being a platinum level amplifier with us. That means that they went to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com, and learned how they could get some perks and benefits for supporting the show. And we really appreciate all of our amplifiers. So I would like to thank Cobra Engineering again. I didn't want to get it wrong, so I had to check again. Thank you so much. And if you would like to help support the show, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. And with you on the show tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Lori.
And Chris.
And we still have Aaron Day here. We have at least one person that has a question for him, but we wanted to talk more about the Roger Ver arrest specifically. So I pulled up this article from BitcoinMagazine.com. The title is DOJ Arrests Early Bitcoin Investor Roger Ver, Bitcoin Jesus, that's what he's called, on charges of tax fraud. Now, you said you've read the indictment, correct, Aaron?
I have read the indictment, and it's 26 pages long,
right.
and it just basically goes through step by step kind of a timeline of actually, when you read it, it's hard to come away thinking that Roger's guilty. It's like, well, he hired this attorney,
right.
Then he hired this attorney, and then he hired an appraiser to determine the value of his business, and then he hired another appraiser, and
right.
So. To be honest, again, if I believed in the integrity of the courts, I would think that Roger would win. However, frankly, after sitting through Ian's sentencing phase and everything else and watching what happened to Ian, the facts are not necessarily important in these types of federal cases. But it certainly doesn't look like on the surface Roger is doing anything wrong. And the one thing that struck me is, and I want you to go back in time and consider what we're talking about here. This was in 2014. And what the U.S. government is alleging is that Roger had 130,000 Bitcoin. And in order to leave the country, there's this exit tax. So he would have to pay whatever this percentage is, 25%, whatever it is. But he can't pay in Bitcoin, which means he actually has to sell his Bitcoin. To which Roger's, I think, what it even said in the indictment, Roger's question was, well, have you factored in when you're trying to figure out what the effective price is for this conversion? Because they're saying, oh, Bitcoin is worth this much. You have this many. You have to multiply those two numbers together and then pay 25% of that, right? Well, what Roger's saying, that was such a large amount of Bitcoin. If you try to dump 130,000 Bitcoin on the market in 2014, the price would drop 80%. Like Roger couldn't have sold. He wouldn't have been able to pay the tax bill even if he sold 100% of his Bitcoin, I think was the point that he was trying to make. So the actual, what they were asking him to do, it technically wasn't even possible. And whether or not they should have asked him to do it in the first place is a separate question. And I would say the answer is no, because he sought out legal and financial assistance and went by what he was told. So the idea to make this criminal. And so, of course, the question with this is, you know, how many people get to just pay a, you know, penalties and interest? It's a slap on the wrist and then you move on your way. Or is that what they want? Do they just want money or do they want him behind bars? And that's going to be the interesting thing to see regarding what the motives are. However, I want to take a step back. If you don't know Roger very well, he has a video on his website, and I posted on Twitter today or yesterday as well. I think it's rogervere.com or rogerkvere.com. And he talks about the last time he was in prison. This isn't the first time he's faced this. Roger went to federal prison for selling fireworks.
Yep.
And he sold fireworks that were being sold by other retailers. He was the only person to go to prison for selling these fireworks. And the reason that he went to prison is because he was loud and vocal and public talking about the fact that taxation is theft, talking about the war state, talking about police brutality. He was targeted even the first time around because of his political beliefs. So now here we are. He's left the country and he's still very much, he's been on message, but he just also happens to release this book that reveals that Bitcoin was hijacked, which is something that it appears as though the government and the Federal Reserve wanted to have happen. It's a very credible book. So what better way to discredit his book than to say, oh, you can't trust hijacking Bitcoin. It was written by a tax fraud, right? That is what they're trying to do, in my opinion, is they're trying to discount him in order to discount his message. But the book Hijacking Bitcoin, to me, is an absolute fact-filled. And I will tell you, to the extent that it's fact-filled, I tweeted about it. And the main core Bitcoin developers that Roger talks about in the book blocked me immediately on Twitter.
Wow.
There's no engagement in the facts. Nobody wants to discuss facts. Nobody has debated with me online. That people will say, oh, Roger's bad, we don't agree with this. No one has actually made a compelling, fact-based argument to dispute a single thing that has been said in this book. So I truly do think that something is afoot here. And I checked with the co-author of the book today. They actually started writing this book in 2020. So people will say, well, it's not like the government just filed these charges today. They've been working on this, right? So there's been grand jurors, whatever they've been doing behind the scenes. And I think that stuff started in 2023, but they've been working on this book since 2020. And I certainly would imagine, knowing the state of the surveillance state, they would be aware of the fact that he's been working on it since 2020.
Yep, I believe that. Yeah, that's a good point, because people like to say that a lot, like, well, the government's been probably working on the charges, and I totally agree, they probably already knew that he was also working on the book. And plus, like, they want to go after him for more than just that. I think it's just like Ian in a lot of ways, because they want to go after Ian because he's selling Bitcoin and promoting Bitcoin, but also because of his radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And they always want to stop subversive people from having a voice. So, like, when they raided our house, they unplugged random wires connected to getting our show out to the radio. And this was just the perfect time for them to drop these charges against Roger right after he wrote a book. I don't know if they think that it maybe makes him look bad and less credible because he's been arrested, because there are actually people who think like that. It's super sad that there are people that think like that, that if you are charged with something, you are guilty. There are even free staters that think like that, and it's getting really annoying. There's like a personal thing happening right now where a friend of mine is charged with something, and less than half of the people are saying, yeah, well, that's basically he's guilty. It's just like, how are you even a libertarian at that point? Like, you just don't know how this works, do you? And it's the same thing with Roger Ver. There were already big crypto people yesterday saying, good riddance, I pay my taxes. You are not in crypto for the right reason.
Congratulations.
Right.
Well, one of the other things that surfaced, and this is related to this hijacking of Bitcoin. So Bitcoin was hijacked. This company, Blockstream, is the beneficiary of this. And I'm not going to go into all the details of Blockstream, but this is an absolute fact. The first and largest investor in Blockstream is a company called AXA, and their CEO was literally the president of the Bilderberg Group. So, you want to talk about conspiracy theories, this is who dumped money. It has all of these MasterCard people and traditional finance and everything in it. But there was a tweet that surfaced where one of the co-founders of Blockstream threatened to report Roger to the IRS. And listen, I don't care who your competitors are or who your enemies are. If you are weaponizing the IRS against anybody, you're the problem.
Yeah, that's like threatening someone's life. I mean, that's what they literally do. They take people's lives away.
Using the government gun.
Saying that the person, quote, caused loss to the IRS. And it's just absolutely ridiculous because they don't deserve any money from you. And that's what they say in the indictment to Roger Beer, that he caused some certain amount of loss to the IRS. And it's absolutely ridiculous that they think just for announcing your citizenship that they are owed money. It's crazy.
I hope some people absorb the fact that when they tell others, oh, if you don't like it, just leave. I hope they absorb the fact that you can't just leave.
Yeah.
You cannot.
That is
they will not allow it.
Well, you can. You just have to come up with the exit tax.
Oh, no, they would probably find something else.
Exactly.
Find something else.
That's exactly what happened here. He paid the exit tax, and then they said, oh, yeah, his
they'll change the rules for what the exit tax is.
Right, yeah.
That's exactly what happened here. Well, we do have a caller in line who has a question for Aaron Day. So, Ricky from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, what question did you have for Aaron Day?
Thank you there, Miss Bonnie. Sister Lori, Brother Chris, Brother Aaron, if I may. I do have a question, actually. Now, the Thursday morning that Saudi Arabia and Egypt joined the BRICS alliance, that Thursday night, I went on the air with Brother Ian, and I made three predictions. I'm going to run them by you, and I have a reason for this. I want to get your thoughts on it. The predictions were that around July, say July of 2025, gas price is going to go sky high to biblical epic proportions. And then by the end of 2025, the dollar is going to fall. And then by the end of the first quarter of 2026, I'm predicting this country will become a third world country. Now, I currently have a bet with Brother Richie, $5 per bet on said predictions. The only thing he did is he wanted me to put a dollar amount. I think I went too high on this. I said $10. I think it's going to be more like $8, you know. And I wanted to get this $5 per bet. And I wanted to get your thoughts on the likelihood that I'm going to win or lose based on my timing here.
Well, it's really hard to make timing predictions, obviously, given the number of variables going on. I mean, if I were to look at these, it would have to be specific numbers. So, I mean, the first one where you said gas sky high, I mean, it would have to be a specific number. But will gas?
Well, yeah, I think I went too high with the $10. I think I did. I think it's going to be more like $8. But nonetheless,
I think it could be more than that. I mean, if you look at, you know, one big event wipes everything out. I want to say, the banking system is going to collapse no matter what. The question is whether we speed it up or not. But right now, the banks have no reserve requirements. They're not required to hold any customer deposits in reserves, and they are depending on commercial real estate, residential real estate, student loans, credit cards to be paid back on time, and they aren't. Those things are already reaching 2008 levels, which is why we had a bank collapse last week. So I think the financial system could collapse before your July 2025 timeframe, which so if it's going to happen, I think it could happen even before then. What the dollar amount is going to be, who knows? The second one, though, when you say end of 2025 for the collapse of the dollar, how do you define collapse of the dollar?
When I say collapse, it took us three calls to come to these conclusions. What it came down to, when I mean collapse, I mean it's going to completely collapse where the dollar's worth absolutely nothing. And that's where I come in for 2026. By the end of that quarter, it will be a third world country. It's going to, the stuff's going to fall apart, you know?
Well, let me ask you a little trick here. So, because these kinds of bets are always difficult, I've done things with prediction markets before. So, the end of the dollar. Mm-hmm. So, if they create a CBDC and call it something else, a digital dollar or something that's not a dollar, how does that affect this?
I thought of that, but see, here's the problem, Brother Aaron. See, I thought of that, but see, It's the same fiat currency. It's the same fiat currency. What it's based on. See, the whole thing, why I'm making these predictions, and it's because of the BRICS alliance, that this was a plan, a well-thought-out plan. And to get, show you even more so, if you take the big anniversary, 250, and subtract it from 2026, I'm sure you'd already got the math when it comes up to. It comes out to 1776. I don't see any accident here. So I'm looking at one fiat currency is the same as the next. It's nothing. It's still nothing. So they won't even be able, the way I see it, and my predictions are correct, they won't even be able to do the CBDC because it'll be equally as worthless. It's gone because it's a gold-backed currency by the BRICS alliance that I see kicking in that I actually didn't take seriously at first until I saw Saudi Arabia and Egypt join the BRICS alliance. Now I'm taking it seriously, and it's based on other things. And I gave a full analysis that night of the players, which I'm not going to go into all of that, but I'm sure you can just envision those that are part of BRICS and plus ourselves. You know,
well,
what it's coming down to.
Yeah, I'll say this. So I actually have a chapter on this in my book. The collapse of the dollar is inevitable. Every fiat currency in human history has failed. The average fiat currency lasts 27 years. Even for the last, you know, we're the global reserve currency. If you look at the five previous global reserve currencies, they lasted an average of 94 years. We've been well over that. And this guy did an analysis of the 775 fiat currencies, and he found that there are seven main reasons that they fail. And when you look at those reasons, the dollar's flashing red. So BRICS is one of the seven reasons. One of the seven reasons is competition from other nations. But other reasons on the top seven list include technology. It includes inflation, government corruption, excess military spending. Again, you go down the line, the collapse of the dollar is inevitable. The question is, what is it going to be replaced with? Is it going to be replaced with CBDC? Or are we going to step in and rally everybody together and separate money and state once and for all with a multi-coin, multi-asset approach? That remains to be seen. We still have free will, so I guess we can shift that
out. That's a big question there, Brother Aaron, that I got for you. I'll throw it in. Now, I don't see, like I said, I think we can just forget about CBDC because it's just a repackaging of the same exact thing. Now, here's the question. Cryptocurrency, I would be fine with cryptocurrency. That would work fine for me. And I think it would work fine for people, especially if we need something to pay our workers. That's why we're going to go into a third world country. But the question is there some way are we going to be able to implement it?
Well, so again, I think we are going to get CBDCs based on, I don't know if you heard the rest of it, but the technology has already been developed. I actually think we could have it within the next 6 months. But your question as to how to implement it, the way we implement these things is by us starting now, by recruiting all of our friends and family. I'm going around the country doing workshops, giving people gold backs, giving people silver rounds, giving people cryptocurrency, empowering them, teaching them, having them do the same thing, go to friends and family, go to local businesses. That's the way that we do it, and we can start it now. In fact, we don't have to start it now. People like Ian and people like Roger Ver started this in 2010. And that's, you know, Roger Ver got the nickname Bitcoin Jesus because he evangelized and went all over the place giving people Bitcoin. Where did Roger learn about Bitcoin? He learned about it from Ian. He learned about it from Mark. And Ian has spread cryptocurrency throughout the state of New Hampshire through ATMs, signing up businesses. That's the way to do it. This is the model. It's already been shown it can be done, but what it needs is more people doing it. And in my opinion, it needs people doing it around the central mission. And that central mission now is, this isn't just a nice, cool piece of technology that you can play around with. Doing this is how we defeat tyranny. And so I think if we can get people rallied around that message, maybe we'll be able to wake a few more people up and really get this thing going.
I think, like Bonnie said, something like AnyPay would be really important. Making it easy to use and spend is really important to get people to use it.
And I'm more optimistic. I really do believe that people are looking for something else. They don't like the idea of a CBDC. I really believe that. I think They don't like to be surveilled. They don't. And this, like I said, crosses both political boundaries.
And I definitely think people should be comparing it more to like the social credit scores that China have and stuff
right.
like that, because Republicans have already been against that. So
right.
you have at least like half people right there that won't agree. Well, thank you so much for the call, Ricky. I'm glad you got to get that question out to somebody who's an expert, because he's really serious about that bet he's made with Richie Rich, and they talk about it a lot on their show. But getting back into the Roger Ver arrest itself, this from BitcoinMagazine.com. Says Roger Ver, a prominent early investor in Bitcoin, famously dubbed Bitcoin Jesus, has been indicted by the Department of Justice on charges of mail fraud, which I haven't figured that part out yet because I haven't read the whole indictment.
Well, it's any time you send anything through the mail.
But like, why is he being charged with it? Do you know?
Because it is a stackable charge. It's you've been charged with everything else. Let's just throw mail fraud on there.
Well, yeah, they're saying he lied about the paperwork. He signed under oath that he claimed that he had this many coins, and then they're claiming that he had more coins than that, and then he sent the paperwork where he made the alleged false claim about how many coins he had through the mail, and
Whoa.
So then they just add the mail fraud charge. I mean,
that's just silly.
That's standard yep. operating procedure.
That is so silly. Like, I would have thought it had something to do. When I first saw mail fraud, I was like, does this have something to do with, like, more of his, like, selling fireworks on eBay thing? That's what I thought this might be related to, maybe.
No, they want to stack as many charges as they can, so when they do their press release, it lists 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 different charges.
Fraudster.
Because then he is obviously a criminal mastermind.
Yeah, there
and
was a
vast danger to all of us.
There was a like a survey, a study, something that they did, and they found by asking potential jurors, if somebody has a lot of charges, would you think that they're more guilty than if they had just a few charges? And they said, yeah.
There was somebody on either on Ian's actual jury or somebody who was interviewed before then, I don't remember at this point, who said, yeah, they asked that question, and she said, yeah, I would definitely be more inclined to think the person was guilty if there's more charges. It's just wow.
And that's why they do it.
That's why they throw things on there like obstruction and
mail fraud.
At least
most of something.
Yeah, at least one of these has to be true.
Look at this laundry list. He must be guilty of one of them.
Yep, it's absolutely ridiculous. So it's mail fraud, tax evasion, and filing false tax returns. Ver was arrested over the weekend in Spain based on these criminal charges, and the U.S. intends to seek his extradition for trial, which is so scary. And he got... go ahead.
Well, it's scary. It's also scary to think about that the last time somebody was in Spain awaiting extradition was John McAfee.
Right.
That one comes to mind.
And then he, quote, kills himself in prison in Spain. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. 603-283-6160. More about the Roger Ver arrest, Bitcoin Jesus, who learned about cryptocurrency on Free Talk Live.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
USA News Update. The White House is standing by its response to pro-Palestinian protests causing disruptions at colleges across the nation. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre stated that President Biden has consistently condemned anti-Semitism. She emphasized that while Americans have the right to peaceful protest, they must do so within the confines of the law. The national average for a gallon of regular gas has slightly increased Wednesday, standing at $3.66 a gallon. That's according to AAA. This price remains the same as a week ago, but is 13 cents higher than a month ago. The Federal Reserve is keeping interest rates unchanged as officials want to see more confidence in inflation decreasing before considering rate cuts. The central bank aims to bring inflation down to 2%. Interest rates have stayed at their highest level in more than two decades since July. John Schaefer, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
You can call in with whatever's on your mind. Right now we're talking about Roger Ver's arrest in Spain, where he may be extradited to the United States for mail fraud and tax-related charges. But Free Talk Live is brought to you by LibertyMinded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear like t-shirts and hoodies are available at LibertyMinded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny liberty-oriented clothing at libertyminded.com. That's libertyminded.com. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Chris.
And in the last segment, and we have Aaron Day here joining us via Jitsi remotely. And in the last segment, we started talking about this article from bitcoinmagazine.com. Aaron Day did read the indictment. I started reading the indictment of Roger Ver, and this article says the indictment alleges that Ver, formerly of Santa Clara, California, owned and operated MemoryDealers.com Inc. and AgileStar.com Inc., both of which were involved in selling computer and networking equipment. Starting in 2011, Ver purportedly began acquiring bitcoins for himself and his companies, amassing a significant amount by 2014. What about Sickle CAI? Wait, was that him? Oh, wait, that's the wrong guy.
Wrong guy.
Uh-oh, my bad. That has nothing to do with anything. Don't go after him, government.
Great. We got another one.
It says amassing a significant amount by 2014, totaling around, this is the amount of bitcoins he had by 2014, 131,000 bitcoins with a value of approximately 240 million at that time. Vera then obtained citizenship in St. Kitts and Nevis in 2014 and renounced his U.S. citizenship shortly thereafter in a process known as expatriation. This action subjected him to U.S. tax laws, including reporting capital gains from the sale of his worldwide assets. Worldwide, people, it's so ridiculous. Including bitcoins and paying an exit tax on those gains. The indictment alleges that Vera provided false or misleading information to a law firm and an appraiser, concealing the true number of bitcoins owned by him and his companies. This resulted in the preparation and filing of false tax returns that significantly undervalued the companies and their bitcoin holdings. In 2017, Vera's companies still held approximately 70,000 bitcoins, which he allegedly sold on cryptocurrency exchanges for around $240 million. Despite not being a U.S. citizen at that time, Vera was still legally obligated to report to the IRS and pay taxes on certain distributions. Wow. So it's like what people say when people say that you know what, if you don't like it, you can just leave. If you just leave, they're going to still say that you owe them more money if you do certain things.
Yeah, they consider you their property. If you were born here, are property of the U.S. government in their eyes.
That's true. It seems like it.
It's pathetic. I just can't imagine the chutzpah these people have that, no, you were born here. You belong to us. I mean, and this doesn't stop. You can go somewhere else.
Why didn't you just choose to be born somewhere else?
Right.
If you make enough money, these people who were born in the same area as you and then got into the parasite class think that you owe them, and that's absolutely disgusting and crazy. That is, we live in a crazy land. We live in La La Land, where you make money and you are somehow obligated to pay people who don't give you any kind of services that you want, even to the point that you expatriate and don't say, I really don't want your services. I'm done.
Also, you buy something, say you buy a house, and the house is in terrible condition, and you put in the work and the money to make the house better, now you owe them more money because your house got better.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. All of this
they did something, so who knows what? They didn't do anything, but now you owe them more.
So far, is this everything that you already knew about the indictment so far, Aaron?
Yeah, no, that tracks exactly. And again, as you go through this and you start to see the details, again, the interesting point that Roger makes is that, you know, he couldn't have possibly sold those bitcoins to pay the tax liability because there wasn't $130,000 worth of, or 130 bitcoin worth of market volume in 2014.
Right.
And so it's this is obviously politically motivated. But there's one other thing you have to think about this. So when I interviewed Roger, Roger does bounce back and forth between St. Kitts and Japan. And when I scheduled my interview with him, we were going back and forth. He was going to go from Japan to then Dubai. So I want to throw it out there because we all know what it's like. I mean, obviously, they obviously planned and prepared it to raid Ian to make sure that they knew he was there. How did they know, and what level of tracking and how much investment were they putting on to know that Roger would be in Spain on that date? Because I have not yet been able to find an example of where he was on any public notice or where he tweeted that he was even going to be in Spain. So it actually takes quite an effort to try to track somebody down that's just on the move in the United States. The fact that they were able to find out well enough in advance to coordinate with the Spanish authorities to have him arrested tells you to the extent to which this is politically motivated, and I think that there's a specific timing element to it. I find it to be not a coincidence that this is just a few weeks after his book was released, because the book has made a very big splash, and it's created a lot of noise. A lot of people that were even BTC maxis, Bitcoin maximalists, have read the book, and people's hearts and minds have actually been changed. Not everyone, but people were stunned by the information in the book. So I think that the timing on this is suspicious because this is going back to 2014. So wait, he left in 2014. You waited a decade to go after him, and then you coordinated to trap him in a country when he hadn't even telegraphed that he was going to be there. So So I'm going to be tracking this issue continuously on my Twitter, which is at Aaron R. Day. I've actually created a Twitter community called Free Roger. And, you know, if you're interested in this, follow along, join the community. I'm looking to, if there are people in Spain, that can join to provide some insight as to how the prison system works there. I mean, we know it didn't work well for McAfee, but I don't want people to be alarmed, you know, like completely about that side of it. They'd already agreed to kind of extradite, McAfee. So he was waiting. He was in a different prison than Roger is now, but nevertheless, this needs,
I didn't think about if he was in the same prison at all.
I don't believe he's in the same prison yet, but if they do decide, but I mean, obviously they've agreed to extradite him, because if the Spanish authorities were willing to actually go along with arresting him, I'm sure they wouldn't arrest him without the intent to extradite. He wasn't being arrested for any crimes allegedly committed in Spain. Mm-hmm. So clearly this extradition is going to happen.
Wow.
So we have to stay on this. And, you know, to me, this relates, by the way, to what I'm doing. Like I think about what happened to Ian and what's happening to Roger. The purpose of it is to have a chilling effect. So the number one thing that we can do to support Ian and to support Roger is to get more people engaging in freedom, to have more people engaging in peer-to-peer transactions using alternative currencies. That is the number one thing that we can do to support these guys. We can do other things, but to me, let's take this chilling effect and turn it on its head. Let's get more people adopting these currencies.
One thing that Chris Wade always organizes whenever there is some kind of big group of people protesting for Ian, and he's like, we're going to take some Bitcoin and send it to each person like in a chain just to show we can do whatever we want, like, and we're going to keep using cryptocurrency. And I think that's really funny. And it's the most important thing is to continue using cryptocurrency as peer-to-peer electronic cash. Instead of just hoarding it, because what's the point of hoarding it if the government makes it so illegal the price goes down ridiculously? So this indictment alleges that when he allegedly failed to pay taxes on certain distributions when he sold 70,000 Bitcoin in 2017, it says that it caused a loss to the IRS estimated at over $48 million.
Yes, alleged to have caused a loss to the IRS.
How can they even assume any right to money after he left the United States
4 years after
and renounced his citizenship and then sold years later? How can they say that he still owes them?
It says he's legally obligated.
I'd love to be on a jury and then go, well, the alleged crime here is they deprived the IRS of $48 billion. I'm like, give that man a cigar. I mean, why? Why is that a crime?
It's ridiculous.
Well, I was working on a meme related to this, and I'm like, well, what could you do with that $50 million? And that $50 million would have bought the government 588,000 Pfizer vaccine shots. And I'm trying to figure out how many babies would have been murdered through the military budget. So I'm gonna put down a couple of data points around what Roger's $50 million would have been used for. Yeah. So it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible to assume that it's, you know, the IRS for the IRS to assume it's their money. It's pretty straightforward what it is that they're saying. What they're saying is you lied about how many Bitcoins you had. And so lying about it through the mail is one thing. And then you actually then owe us that amount of money. And of course, it looks to me like factually, again, this is just the government's complaint. Roger hasn't had a chance to make his case, but Roger's a smart guy, and I suspect that, you know, he actually got good counsel on this. So this is one of these situations where this may come down to a lot of internal squabbling about this stuff. It actually talks in the complaint about, you know, it alleges that Roger's lawyers and appraisers would ask him questions like, how many Bitcoin do you have? And Roger's response back was to give, you know, a response about the current state of the Bitcoin market and to not answer the question. So there's a bunch of stuff like that in there. But, you know, nevertheless, you know, to a certain degree, with all of this Bitcoin stuff, it's actually hard to potentially even remember. I mean, if he's selling Bitcoin through memory dealers through his business, well, how do you define the line of you have an S corporation and your business is taking Bitcoin and then you take dividends and everything else? I mean, there's not a clear line of demarcation on this. So it's not even necessarily fraud. It could be, since Bitcoin hasn't been defined as a currency, you know, would he know to treat it that way? I mean, there's a whole bunch of different angles that he could take with this.
And the government's take on what Bitcoin is in 2014 is vastly different than it is today.
Mm-hmm.
So you're using one definition against something that's changed 20 times. And how many government agencies have defined Bitcoin separately in different ways?
They do.
Completely different ways.
The IRS versus... Yep. FBI, and then regulatory things, they all
commodity, is it a security? You know, it's ridiculous.
There's a great video that I posted that I took from Bitcoin.com, which is Roger's thing. It's a 2-minute video, and it does a great job with visuals and music of demonstrating the concept of taxation as theft. And when you watch it, you can assume that the IRS is probably agitated about the fact that Rogers had some viral videos where he has been very outspoken about the concept that taxation is theft. And he's given very passionate videos. One of my favorite videos is from, I think, 2018 of Roger debating this guy, Samson Mao, who represents BTC, and Roger was kind of promoting Bitcoin Cash. And Roger talks about the fact that the high fees of Bitcoin means more dead babies. And he's very passionate and he's really passionate. People make fun of him about it, but he's actually, when you watch what he says and how he says it, this is why he is in crypto. He is truly in crypto so that people everywhere, even in developing nations all over the world, can escape poverty and have a currency that they can use for day-to-day transactions. And so this is completely politically motivated, but we need to stay on top of it. I want to add this. I just got involved in something. There's an event going on in the Libertarian Party is having their national convention in Washington, D.C., yeah. There's this event coming up called Enemies of the State, D.C. Bash. So it's like 9 o'clock at night, Eastern time, at the Washington Hilton on May 24th. And it's to recognize, people who have been, that are enemies of the state, who have been promoting freedom. So
political
it's going
prisoners.
To celebrate political prisoners. It's going to celebrate Edward Snowden. It's going to celebrate Julian Assange. It's going to celebrate Ian Freeman. It's going to celebrate Ross Ulbricht, and it's going to celebrate Roger Ver. And I'm going to be there. Kind of introducing Roger's piece of this, but I'm excited to be a part of this, and I know you guys are sponsoring it, so I hope people check this out.
I'm going to try to be there, maybe too impossible, but Mark Edge will definitely be there emceeing the event, and I think that's a really good thing to promote, so thanks for bringing it up. I think more people need to realize what's going on. Look at all the examples there are of political prisoners, of people who just believe in, you know, making the world a more free place. It's getting, I know I keep saying it's ridiculous, but it is, because we live in legal land, law land, and we don't live in a place that makes sense. Like, the United States is a scary, evil corporation and empire, and they will go after you if you do anything that they see as a threat.
Even if it's just your opinion.
Right. I know that they're trying to go after this show. There's just so many coincidences happening all at once. Now GCN's going out of business. I just really think that they're going after us still, and they thought that they could get rid of Free Talk Live by just putting Ian Freeman in a cage. They thought, because they're stupid, that just unplugging a few wires was going to keep us off the air. I mean, it did for one night, or maybe even like part of the first night that Ian was gone, then we're back on the air. It's just, these people don't want the average person to know the truth. And when that person says that less Bitcoin being used, it equals more dead babies, I think these people that are protesting about Gaza really need to realize that that is actually absolutely the case. That if they don't want dead babies and a genocide happening in Gaza, well, stop using their money, the dollar, and start using cryptocurrency. Just like starve the state. Stop using any of their services. Don't be on their welfare. grow up and take self-responsibility for yourself. Don't be reliant on these people. Use cryptocurrency and gold and cash and just exit their system, because it's a disgusting, evil system that is absolutely directly responsible for tons and tons of, like, a million people in Iraq, and now how many, like, 13,000 dead people in Gaza? I mean, it's related because the United States gives them tons of money every year, Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to exit and start taking care of yourself without relying on the evil, evil parasite class, who doesn't actually care about you at all. If they did, they would want you to be as prosperous as possible and not, oh, well, we'll give you $2,000 a month, but if you put anything into savings, you're going to not get your welfare, and you have to work, you know, only a couple hours a month, and your kids will just barely be getting by instead of, you know, they don't want you to prosper and be doing well, because then you don't need them.
Yeah, you can't have... What is it, like $2,000 in your savings over $2,000? Nobody can do anything with $2,000. You
yep.
can't relocate. You can't open a business. You can't do anything with that. So it's, you know, just enough to feel like you have something, but not enough to do anything with, so that way you are still helpless.
And easier to track.
And easier to control.
And everything, and control. Because you have a lot less control over your life if you don't have control of the money that you... use, the money that you earn from spending your time and work and energy, that if you can't control that, then you don't own your time and work and energy, which means you're a slave. If you use the U.S. dollar, if you pay taxes, if you're on their welfare especially, you are nothing but a slave to them. You can still exit now, but the time is honestly, I really believe, running out for you to be able to exit. And I also think, and I think most of us here on the show believe, that moving to New Hampshire to be in a community of people who think the same way is an important next step. If you live in a big city, well, guess what? Everybody around you is going to be like, hey, I got the CBDC. Why are you being a, you're a wrecker. You're this would work fine if just you would comply.
We can't trade with you. You can't buy groceries at our store because you don't have the CBDC. You
yep.
can't pay your rent because you don't have it.
Yep.
Sorry.
That's
yep.
exactly how that's going to work.
Yeah, but I think we need to stay. So, and obviously this is why I'm in New Hampshire and joined the Free State Project and moved here as well. But I think that we actually have to defeat this, because the end goal of this is one global government and one global currency. And in fact, you're already seeing this with the World Health Organization pandemic alliance, which they're working on passing, where we're basically handing up more of our sovereignty to these multinational organizations. And the plan for CBDCs is to link all the CBDCs together, but there's already an IMF plan to build one single CBDC called WorldCoin or something like that. So understand that we're not going to be able to hide away. We need to actually stop this thing. But in the meantime, we move as well and find a community that you can weather the storm. But we also have to acknowledge that, you know, we're not going to be able to hide. They will literally come and force us to, they'll force their views on us unless we shut them off. And the only way to shut them off is to stop using their money and actually crash their system. That's the conclusion I've come to anyway.
I definitely don't believe in hiding. I think if you move to New Hampshire just to let everyone else do the freedom work, you're on the wrong side. And I think that if people even just come here and spend gold and silver and cryptocurrency instead of U.S. dollars, then they're really doing activism. I'm not saying
yep.
you don't have to be Ian Freeman or anything like that. But one thing that I think is really important is also talking to the people in, like, the nation as well, and see and try to wake up as many people as possible. Otherwise, I wouldn't do Free Talk Live. I know that there are some people who say, just give up on that. It's not important. But if they have a one world government, well, then they will just squash the 6,000 or whatever people in the free state. So I agree with you on that point as well.
Well, when I travel, I mean, I've given talks and or workshops in 20 different states. The number of people that are familiar with Free Talk Live, and especially Ian, is actually very high. And I've met some great people who, so the impact of Free Talk Live is substantial, and it's an ongoing thing. So it's something that, you know, you definitely don't stop, because the word is getting out, even one way or another, to places like California. So,
wow. This article, I think it's really cool that they end this article with this paragraph. It says, Acting Deputy Assistant Attorney General Stuart M. Goldberg and U.S. Attorney Martin Estrada announced the charges with IRS Criminal Investigations Cybercrimes Unit handling the case. An indictment is an allegation, and all defendants are presumed innocent until proven guilty in court.
Disclaimer, we have to say that.
I don't know if, like, Bitcoin Magazine is, like, on our side or whatever in that case, but not every media would point that out.
Yeah, I know. And they're, I mean, that's right out of the press release of the Justice Department. They do that stuff all the time.
They say that too?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at the Justice Department press release, and indictment is merely an allegation. They say that stuff, but, you know.
Well, otherwise it would be defamation, I mean, to a certain degree, right? I mean, you have to claim innocent. You still have to claim innocent until proven guilty, even if you're rigging the system and, you know, engaging in prosecutorial misconduct. They still have to say that they're following the rules.
Exactly.
I also think that sometimes they bring something like that up just to actually be saying the opposite. Like, let me give an example and say what I mean. In Ian's case, after a trial one day was over for the day, the judge stopped everything to say, and I'd like to tell you guys, the jury, when you go home tonight, you're going to see on TV, possibly, like, you don't even know that they will, but anyways, you're going to see on TV, on the news, that
you
a man...
You may see something on WMUR at 7:15 tonight.
That Sam Bankman-Fried has been arrested, and his crimes are also related to cryptocurrency. I just want you to remember that that has nothing to do with the improvement.
Right.
He's saying that while bringing attention...
To Sam Bankman-Fried.
Sam Bankman-Fried and drawing a connection there. Like,
and
yeah,
saying
why?
It in the same sentence.
Planting the idea in
but
their
don't,
heads.
Don't make any rush to any judgments. Of course
they like to do this thing where they say that they're doing a thing, so that means they're doing it. Like, when they say, like, okay, I'm striking that from the record. That means that you're supposed to believe that they really struck that from their minds. 603-283-6160. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live. Exit the evil empire of the United States. It's Free Talk Live.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.